Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over. 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Brad and I are back, and we are ready to dive into it like Elio Ramos diving into home plate. Yesterday to score that run on that. If you were Bruce Bochy, well, we're not Bruce Bochy, but if you were someone who was close to Bruce Bochy and you had the opportunity to ask him how he felt about how that game ended last night, I wonder what he would say.
Ah, shucks.
Well, they lost. They kind of, you know, they didn't lose in similar fashion on Saturday, but it was kind of like, you know, they get up by a couple runs, the Giants inch their way back, and then they tie it, and then they win. And, like, you know, Elliot Ramos bounces the ball back to the pitcher. Thank you, Luke Jackson, firing it into right field. But the day before, Patrick Bailey hits, like, the what was the exit velocity on that bloop shot into right field to win the game?
Not much more than the one from yesterday. No. I mean, it was just kind of off the end of the bat. He went with the pitch, you know. Hey, Patrick Bailey hitting from the right side, not always the prettiest thing, but he went with the pitch and did what he could with it. So it was nice. It was nice to see. But yeah, it was funny because during that game yesterday, I was having kind of it was fun. It was good conversation on Blue Sky with a couple other Giants fans who we follow each other, and, you know, we go back and forth about, you know, just Giants debates and talk and stuff. And it's always very friendly and nice. But, you know, one of them was saying it's time to bench Lamont Wade Jr. And I was like, I mean, the first at bat of the game, he comes up with the bases loaded and he hits a would-be grand slam about 5 feet foul. Then, like, two pitches later, he hits what would have been a bases clearing double down into the corner, and it hit the wall about 6 inches foul. And then he hits a ball in the gap that gets robbed. And the same at bat. And I'm like, this guy, you know, he's got some hard luck stuff going on right now. He is hitting the ball hard. He gets on base because he wanted to put VR in at first base, give VR some chances at first base. But I'm like, VR is a right-hander.
Right.
You can't. And so when Ramos hit that dribbler and the ball was thrown away and he got to second, I go, here comes Lamont Wade Jr. up with the game on the line. Ramos at second base. He's going to get a chance. He's going to drive him in, and I'm going to be vindicated. But then Ramos just kept going and going, and the ball's thrown around. I go, well, I didn't get that chance to see Lamont Wade Jr. come up and be the hero, but I'll take it no matter what. It was just kind of a crazy ending to the game. Love it. I mean, never seen anything like that, so that was fun.
And he kind of I wouldn't say he was dogging it into second, but I don't think he realized, like, how poorly it was thrown into right field, because he's just kind of jogging into second. He's about to let up, and two people are screaming at him. One of them, obviously, Matt Williams, and I would have definitely been afraid of Matt Williams yelling at me to hurry up and to quit dogging it going to second. But if you look behind Matt Williams, it was Willie Adames. He was like the second, third base coach, just like yelling at him, just to keep running.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fantastic. I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those things when he got to second and was slowed down, and all of a sudden Kiper goes, and he's going to third. And I thought, oh no, he's going to get nailed by like 3 feet. Luckily, it's a tie game. Luckily, that's not the game tying run. And when I saw how far away they were from the ball, I thought, oh, that's great. And then when the throw went to third and the third baseman had to come off of third base to come get the ball and then poorly short hopped it and went underneath his glove. I thought, man, this is, he better not get gunned at home plate now. Cause I, you know, the emotions were like this, just roller coaster up and down. I'm like, please just score, man. At this point, you got to score or else. Yeah. Matt Williams was going to have you, you know, out back behind the behind Oracle Park taking a shot at you.
He's gonna like pick him up like by his by his jersey,
poor guy,
neck of his jersey. Like I was like, man, you better do this so he's gonna get mad at you. All right, so before we actually get into the baseball stuff, we had the NFL draft this past weekend, and Rod and I did a podcast previewing and then recapping. I want to apologize because Rod was not at his house and he was recording in another room, but I don't think people knew that we could overhear you if you're chit chatting. So there was a little bit of feedback into his mic of people chatting from where he was recording. But what did you think of your Rams draft? You guys got the linebacker that I think Rod and I wanted, about Poop Hall.
Yeah, you know, one of those things too. The Rams have they're not fantastic in the cornerback situation. So their first pick, they went defensive end, kind of tweener linebacker, defensive end. They like the fast guys coming off the edge from Michigan. And they didn't go with a corner. And I think there was a corner available. I want to say, it was the next pick. The Arizona Cardinals ended up picking the guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a draft expert, so the names don't stick with me. I'm one of those people, huge Rams fan, but I will study that. I haven't gotten a chance to yet, but I will go through and I'll go through the list of all the players we picked, and I will watch like probably a good 30 minutes of YouTube highlights on each player, just so that when, you know, when the preseason rolls around, I'm familiar with these guys and I know their game. But yeah, so that was the one thing. I saw one grade today and they gave in the Athletic, they gave the Rams number 25 out of the 32 teams in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They gave them 25 out of 32, which I thought was kind of weak, because the Rams did fill some holes. They added defense. Look, when you're playing in the NFC West, the Niners like to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to stop the run. And the Rams were poor at stopping the run last year. They had a hard time stopping the run against Detroit in the first game of the season. They got better as the season went on, but depth was obviously an issue. You know, they had a couple guys hurt later in the season. And then when they got to, Philadelphia in the playoff game and they're playing in the snow, Philadelphia, I mean, they had three gigantic runs against them. Granted, it's Saquon Barkley. He had a monstrous postseason, monstrous season. But you got to get better at stopping the run. So if they can stop the run, rush the quarterback, then you kind of take, you don't have to worry too much about your corners. Of course, the big rumor is that Jalen Ramsey is out there, and the Rams might want a little reunion with Jalen.
I've heard that for a few different teams.
Yeah, exactly. He can bring the young guys along, so you've got that situation. But I was happy with the draft. I think the Rams did a good job. They got a speedy running back, and I'm very happy about that. I love the speedy short bowling ball guys at running back, and so does McVay. He loves guys who could catch out of the backfield too, and that's one of them. So pretty happy with it. I'm excited. I'm not ready for football season yet.
No,
watching the draft, you're always like, am I there yet? No, I'm not quite there, because baseball just started.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still in that mode, and this wanes towards like July, August, but I'm still in that mode, and we have MLB.tv. Where if there's not a Giants game on, I'll throw on another game. But around July or August, I'm like, okay, I'm just watching the Giants game. You know, I'm outdoors too much, too many other things going on. But right now, I'm fully in baseball and trying to fix my fantasy baseball team.
Me too.
Yeah.
So just to kind of get the triumvirate, the Warriors play the Rockets before or after we record. And so Brian and I will be back Thursday. We'll also talk about some Valkyries opening of training camp. So the WNBA season is right around the corner too. So tons of stuff going on, but we have to come back to the Giants, because the Giants are in first place in the NL West, and they have I think it's like one of like the three best records in all of baseball right now. 28 games. Yeah, we know, but we can't like not talk about it. It's like, oh yeah, who cares? Who cares? Only 28 games. No way. We got to talk about it. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it took them what, 44 games last year to get this many wins. So yeah, we'll take it.
We'll take it. Absolutely. So the games, I mentioned this over the weekend. We were in a little text and I was like, when they don't hit, they're kind of boring. Now, the starting pitching kept them in it. Like Verlander loses on Friday, but it's one of his best starts of the season. They scored zero runs. Like poor Jung-Hoo Lee almost died and almost got beaned and then like struck out on it.
That was
like
frightening.
And then Saturday, you know, they play some good baseball, but they're behind immediately in like all of these games, like first inning, second inning, up 2-0, they're down, and they just can't, they haven't had that offensive explosion of late. So it's kind of tough, but when the pitching has been so good, and even Jordan Hicks yesterday did not have a great outing. I don't know if you saw any of the Bochy quotes, but I guess his velocity was just way down on like every pitch. And Bochy was like, yeah, sometimes you get out of Bomel's like, you know, sometimes you get out of bed and you're not feeling that great, but he got through five and that was his job and he did his job. But it's like, great. You know, I'm glad that he battled, but I would like the bats to just go, like somebody, the offense just collectively needs to go, you know what? This pitching staff's been carrying our rear ends all season. We need to get some runs here to take some pressure off of these dudes. I just don't see that they have the talent on the offensive side to really compete unless they make a move or here, or maybe it's Eldridge, you know, who comes up and provides a little bit of punch. But where are you right now with the offense? Because you mentioned Wade. Adames is having better ABs, but he's still struggling. Jung-Hoo Lee is really the only one who is consistently a threat in the lineup. Fitzgerald was hurt all weekend, but like they just have like, I just don't see that offense. Like if we're back here in a month and they're still the top team in the NL West, then something will have happened, or the pitching is just lights out. But that's my big worry for this team, which is got some nice pieces, but we're just missing one or two bats in this offense.
Yeah, they're not a complete team at this point. And we've also, you know, we also knew that going into the season, and my biggest concern was depth on the offense. So if you got a guy or two hurt, you had to plug holes with, you know, quadruple A guys. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. David Villar is up because Schmidt got hurt. And Schmidt himself is kind of a quadruple A guy too.
Yeah.
But again, they're there because of Encarnacion, who should be in the lineup. So he's a guy that could come back. Is his power going to be, you know, sapped because of the broken wrist? I mean, that's definitely a concern. They're building up the arms in triple A. So they have massive, they have big starting pitching depth. So you can trade for some guys. There are going to be some guys that might get released that you could take some chances on in terms of waiver pickups. But again, you know, I was looking at some numbers too, because we also have to remember they were just on a 17-game streak. No day off in 17 games. So I was looking at that and they went 10-7.
Yeah.
Pitching absolutely was a big part of that. But they were the only team to play 17 games in that stretch. 12 teams played 16 games during that same stretch. 13 teams played 15 games during that stretch. And four teams only got to play 14 games during that stretch. Two of them being the Dodgers and the Cubs, because they opened the season early, so they had two more games than everybody else when the season started. So that was understandable. But going 10-7 during that stretch. Now, I was looking at some numbers. Offensively, their WRC plus during that 17-game stretch compared to everybody else was 16th. In the bigs at 98. K percentage, they didn't get you know, slow, draggy bats during that time. They were at 21.8%, which is 14th. The number I like to see, their walk percentage during that 17-game stretch, 12.2%, and that's good for first. They were number one during that 17-game stretch for walk percentage offensively. They're getting on base, and so when you said that the other day and I replied, I was like, I get it. They are boring to watch, but they're getting on base, but they're not doing a damn thing until they get two outs, and that's kind of been their MO this entire season. So it's almost like they don't quite nut up until they've got two outs. So before that, they're like, well, yeah, you know, we're just going to kind of do our thing, and you know, we'll move runners along, and then when we get two outs, we're going to hyper focus. I'm sure that's not how it's going in the clubhouse right now. But to be able to get those early runs and put pressure on the other team, the Giants right now, they're going down 2-0. They're going down 3-0, 1-0. Then the bullpen comes in, shuts everybody down, and they're crawling back into the game and winning late games. Because if you look at the pitching during that 17 game stretch, FIP on the entire pitching staff, you know, starters and relievers, 3.33, that's fourth in the majors. Home runs per nine, 0.75, that's fifth in the majors during that stretch. Walk percentage or walks per nine for the bullpen, 2.56, so that's third best. And then left on base percentage from the bullpen, 80.9%, which is fifth during that stretch in the majors. Bullpen was 5-1, so that tells you right there, and that's the second most wins during that stretch. So 5-1 bullpen tells you that they are coming in tight ball games. They're coming in down by one run, tied. Mm-hmm. And then the offense is squeaking it out and getting that run or two that they need and winning the ball games. And like you said, is that sustainable? No, it's not. I mean, I can't imagine it's sustainable unless you've got, you know, all nine guys have magic wandoos. But I mean, that's so hard to maintain for 162 games. And we've seen this team come out and mash and do what they have to do on occasion. They'll score nine runs. They'll score six runs. Going into San Diego, they are an extra base hit machine. So you're going to have to you're going to have to go down to San Diego, and you're really going to have to put some runs on the boards or shut them down, which is hard to do. Although San Diego, they're banged up everywhere. They have kind of a triple A lineup going themselves right now. So the Giants might be getting them at a good time because they're only playing two games, going down two games. That's it. Coming back home for Colorado.
Padres are cool. They are 3-7 in their last 10. Yeah.
And coming home for Colorado, if the Padres are cold, what do you call Colorado? I mean, they're
1-14 on the road. You're Colorado.
Good Lord. 1-14 on the road. I think I told you the other night, their run differential was like -62.
My gosh.
Pretty ridiculous. So if Chase Dollander pitches, I've seen a couple of his starts. He's kind of the rookie phenom. Guy strikes out a lot of people, but I think after pitching in two games, he had already tied for the major league lead in home runs given up by a starting pitcher.
Wow.
And after just two starts, it was something like nine. It was insane. Something needs to happen, but a trade, I mean, God, it's so early to start talking trades because we're just ending April, beginning May. But maybe it's not. I mean, maybe you start looking at some of the starting pitching down in Triple A and say, who can we deal? Who can we turn into somebody who gets on base, hits doubles? And those guys aren't just hanging out there.
Yeah.
But there's going to be some teams that don't want to get into arbitration with these guys, don't want to have to deal with big contracts. Look across the bay and up Interstate 80 and look at Sacramento, because they've always got guys they don't want to pay money to. So
here's an interesting comparison, and I don't know if we would have necessarily said this at all until now, or we would have even compared them. But like you said, if the Giants are calling teams, they're probably going to ask for some of the starting arms.
Yeah.
Who do you think is more available, Kyle Harrison or Hayden Birdsong?
At this point, Kyle Harrison.
I think you're right. Now, the one trick
could have to be
is he's left-handed, and left-handers are more valuable just because there's not as many of them. But right. Birdsong has been tremendous. He had the one start in Philadelphia where he got lit up a bit, but man, he's been tremendous. And I kind of look, you know, he is kind of being used how we thought too. It's like, you know, somebody in the rotation has a, you know, maybe a 4 or 5 inning start, and then you pump him for 3, and then you get to the back end of your bullpen and you're good to go. The kid is amazing. Like, I watch him and he's not just like sometimes when you see these younger guys, you're like, okay, over-reliance on the fastball, and the fastball is good, but then he drops the breaking ball like right on the front of the plate, and these guys are out of their minds. Like, I just get such a, I get the feeling that he's like wise beyond his years when he's out there, and he looks like a baby on the mound.
Maybe it's the blonde mustache. That's kind of the thing that throws me off a little bit. But yeah, he's so fun to watch. And I know people are clamoring. They're like, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, if you are going to give up a starting pitching slot for Hayden Birdsong, right now, and 2 weeks ago I said this too, right now it's got to be Jordan Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
I know Jordan Hicks signed with us in, you know, anticipation that he was going to be a starter. That was the deal. But that was with Farhan. And I think Buster has every right to say, look, it's not working. It's not what we signed you for. I know Farhan did that. We didn't sign you for that. We need you in the bullpen. We need you as that extra arm to come in the 7th or 8th inning. Now Duvall and Ryan Walker both look right. So what do you do in that situation? But to add another arm that can throw 100 miles an hour into the bullpen and take Hayden Birdsong out of it. Although Birdsong is just kind of an MVP right now in that bullpen, because when he can come in and throw 3 innings and give guys rest, I mean, that's huge. And I didn't pull this number and write it down, but I did look earlier during that 17-game stretch. The Giants were like dead middle in terms of bullpen innings pitched during that 17-game stretch. So it's not like they got the bullpen burned out. The starters were doing what they had to do, and they were doing a great job. And Hayden Birdsong was helping out, too, by getting all of those innings. So, I would think at this point, Kyle Harrison's got to be the guy that you can give up. What's his value right now? I don't know. If he's not pitching in the majors and he's not facing major league hitters right now, I have to say the value comes down, but it depends on what are the Giants looking for. And they're missing Tyler Fitzgerald. He's been hurt for a couple of games. So when he comes out, he helps out too. He was just starting to get hot. So that was kind of a big hit for the offense. So, you know, there are some parts that are coming back at some point. I don't know what Eldridge is doing right now. I haven't looked. I have some guys bookmarked like Eldridge. Luciano started getting hot. So Eldridge is hitting 154. He's only, you know, 2 for 30. He's only had 13.
He like hit a jack in his first AB and he was like, that's good enough.
Yeah. He's like, Hey, did you guys see that? And then that kind of stopped. But Luciano has heated up a little bit. He's hitting 230 now. At one point he was hitting 154. So he does have his April is looking better. He's hitting 242. His March he hit 111 in just 3 games, but in April he's hit 242 with 3 jacks and 11 ribs. Strikeouts, I don't know if you want to know how many times he struck out, but he has struck out 34 times in 91 at bats.
I want to put some respect on his name, because Wilmer Flores does lead all of the MLB in RBIs. So he's got 28 tied with Aaron Judge. So he's doing his job, but he's supposed to be an additive guy. He's not supposed to be your main guy. So
he's not your number 4 hitter that you rely on to hit 30 to 40 homers. And Adamas is not heated up. So we've got, you know, and he has the potential to be a 300 hitter with 30 home runs.
Yeah.
Those numbers probably down now because of Oracle and also because of the slow start. But once he starts hitting and hitting, it's contagious and it's going to go up and down the line. So, you know, I like the patience versus the quick trigger finger the last couple of seasons. I like the patience this year. I am all for leave a guy in. Lamont Wade Jr. is a horse. He's your guy. He's had a 120 and 121 OPS plus the last two seasons. Yeah, I know right now it's 34 but or 38, I think. But it's going to start rising because he is going to get hot. He's going to start putting balls in play. Things are going to start falling his way. So I don't know. I'm not panicking. I'll just say I'm not in panic mode when it comes to the offense quite yet. So
live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
So let's talk about this closer situation. Ryan Walker had a couple of rough outings. Mm-hmm. Camilo came in and pitched some ninth innings. Tyler Rogers has been great in his role. Randy Rodriguez has been great in his role. We already mentioned Hayden. Spencer Bivens has been, outside of walking, like he's had a couple of walks here and there, but he's been fantastic of late as well.
Oh, yeah.
Who, like, if you had, let me ask you the question this way. Okay, someone, it's the beginning of the ninth inning. You can choose from Ryan Walker, Camilo Duvall, Tyler Rogers, or Randy Rodriguez. Which pitcher makes you feel less anxious that he is on the mound to close out a game?
Depends on the day. I mean, it honestly depends on the day, but I think right now I still feel best about Ryan Walker. I honestly do. I still feel most nervous about Camilo because it for Camilo, it's batter to batter. Honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other day he came in and he came in a closer situation. He went ball one, ball two. And I was like, and they weren't even close. And I was like, come on, man. You gotta, don't throw out Camilo and you know, have him start throwing and walking guys out there. Because then he's going to get in his head and it's going to be kind of a mess. I don't know about Randy Rodriguez. We haven't seen him in that closer role. And
yeah, you don't know if he's got that mentality.
Exactly. And I want to see that. I know Tyler Rogers does, so I'm not worried about him. Whenever he's out there, I feel good. Yeah. I mean, somebody's going to run into one and hit a home run every now and then, but God, his numbers over the last like 5 or 6 years are only second, I think, to Emmanuel Class A. I mean, everybody would take Class A on your team.
So you would definitely take Rogers. Opposite style of pitchers too.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. I think Class A is blowing up lately. I don't know what his problem is, but
the answer for me is probably still Walker. Yeah. I feel less anxious with him on the mound. Some of it is also that it's almost like Duvall is like a son, and I want to protect him from all of the all of the bad media stories that come out on him whenever he throws a bad inning.
Yeah,
but it's still Walker, but it's also partly because we haven't really seen that many Walker blowups. He still has that equity, but again, if you're talking about sort of the big picture of are you a closer, are you not a closer, he's only been doing this for less than a full year. So
right.
He's got to continue to do it, I think. And he's never done it in the playoffs. Camilo has pitched in the playoffs before. So that is also part of it. But I think it's an interesting thing and a kind of an interesting question to follow for the entire season, because they do have arms. And you know, like I said, Spencer Bivens is a great long man, but he also just gets people out in funky ways. And so you feel completely fine. Like if he's in the game and the Giants are down 2-0, you're like, cool. He's going to throw two innings and they'll still be in the ball game. He'll be fine. And then even Lou Trevino getting some work in. So they're utilizing the arms, and it's good because you don't want one singular arm to get completely burnt out. If you have multiple arms who are just putting up zeros and you only have one lefty in the whole bullpen and he's not getting burnt out.
Yeah.
So things are good there. And that's maybe the part of the team I think I would say I'm most confident about, even more than the starting pitching, is just the bullpen.
Yeah. I think the other thing too is if you can get Ryan Walker through this, it just makes him tougher. You know, if he can come out on the other end and no failure in that ninth inning situation, that's good. Because if you're just successful 100% of the time and you don't blow any saves, we don't know what you're like. The coaches don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like when you hit a stretch like this. How is he going to come out of it? Well, now you can see if he does come out of it and he gets 12, 13 save chances in a row and gets them all and then blows one, you have that confidence to say, well, we've seen him come out of this before. It's one, you know, it's one blown save, no big deal. So you do need to see that in your closers, I think. You can't just be complacent and say, well, I want a guy who's 100% perfect all the time, and if he blows it once, now we got to turn to somebody else. And there aren't many major league managers that are like that unless you're Billy Martin, maybe.
or yeah, it's like you could have someone like Brian Wilson who he's got to walk like two guys every time just to get loose and then strike out the next three guys. Like he creates the closer role for himself. He creates the anxiety in the game for himself almost to get pumped up.
Yeah,
all
absolutely.
Right, let's look at this week's player of the week.
That is a guy we were just talking about. Let's go Hayden Birdsong. I was looking at the offense. Obviously, we talked about the offense. I couldn't find anybody who really stood out. I'm not going to give it to Ramos because he got a little league home run to win the game. Now, if he would have jacked it out of the yard, looking at something a little bit different. But Hayden Birdsong has been that guy we talked about. Two games this week, six innings pitched. So he goes out there each time. He's throwing three innings. 13.5 Ks per nine. So he's got 9 Ks in the 6 innings. Didn't give up a run. Anybody who got on base got stranded. So his left on base percentage was 100%. Did get a win in there because he came in, I think, in a tie ball game or down by one. So I got to give it to Birdsong. We haven't given it to a pitcher all season long. But looking at him, like I said, I think he's the MVP of the bullpen right now. It's not anybody else in that bullpen. The bullpen is great. Don't get me wrong. The bullpen is fantastic. Anybody would take this bullpen. Any team would take this bullpen right now. But Hayden Birdsong is kind of the glue. He gets you. If Jordan Hicks is having trouble and can't get out of the fourth or fifth, you've got Birdsong to get you to the eighth inning. That's super valuable and a great commodity to have at this point of the season, this early in the season.
So the Giants are in San Diego today, like you said, or tomorrow, sorry, tomorrow. Mm. Tomorrow and Wednesday for a weird two-gamer. And it is Logan Webb and Nick Pivetta. Both of them are dealing right now.
Yeah.
Pivetta 1.20 ERA, 4-1. Webb 3-1 with a 1.98 ERA. And both are good baseball teams. And the Giants, the one thing with the Giants that is, I don't know what it says. I'm not even sure how they're doing it, but they have the best road record in all of baseball right now at 10-6. So they have been going into these ballparks and they've been playing competitive baseball and they're winning close games, and 10-6 on the road, that says something sort of about the make of your team, the makeup of your team. Whatever they're doing is, whatever Bo Mel and Matt Williams and everybody is doing to kind of prepare these guys to play some of these, the 17 games without a day off, like that's a mental mind screw, Oh my gosh. Like we're playing and we're traveling. And it just becomes repetition. So the preparation of this team is absolutely off the charts as well. What do you think about like just the idea of being so good on the road? And they're not doing it because they're hitting all these, they're not torpedo batting their way into these right. wins. They're winning these really tough baseball games.
Yeah, it builds character. It's good for later in the season. It's good, it's playoff baseball atmosphere when you can't make a mistake in a tie ball game late in the eighth or ninth inning. I think it's showing these guys how to win. You think of the opposite. If they had lost all of these close games, you're looking at a 10-19 team, right? Nobody wants to see that. So to get these tight ball game wins, it's huge, and I think it's going to go a long way. Is it good for my stomach? No. Is it good for my psyche on a, Friday night? No, it's not. I'm trying to relax. It's the end of the week. I want the Giants on a Friday night to score 8 runs in the first 2 innings. Do what they did at the very first game of the 17-game stretch. They went into New York, and they scored, 9 runs in the first, 2 or 3 innings, and they won a rain-shortened game 9-1. Do that more often on a Friday night. That would be fun. I like that.
You know what's going to happen, though? Giants are going to get these torpedo bats, and they're actually going to hit worse. And this whole thing about the torpedo bats is just going to go down. Whoever makes the torpedo bats, they're like, do we really want to send them to the Giants? Because they might just tank our stock here with how good these bats are.
Well, Patrick Bailey hit with one yesterday, and he hit a ball to the track. But, of course, he got oracled. And it was caught on the warning track almost at the wall. It wasn't like a fantastic catch or anything like that, but he jacked it. I mean, he hit it hard. It was the closest to a home run that Bailey has come this season. So I think he does have a home run, but you know what I mean? Lately, because lately he's been a little rough to watch. But yeah, so he's hitting. I don't know who else is currently hitting with the torpedo bats on the Giants, but they only talked about Bailey at this point. And then he didn't do much else. And then he struck out. See, that's the thing. If you have a torpedo bat, you could do something with it if you make contact. So you got to make contact. That's the whole thing.
So they get 2 with the Pods, and then very thankful for 4 with the Rockies. But you kind of got to go in there and at least win 3. You can't go in there and win 2 because you have to take advantage of how poorly they've been playing. I don't want to go into Colorado and then it's like all of a sudden, just because it's the Giants, like Colorado like turns it around. And then all we get is highlights of Lincecum, talking about humidifiers and stuff. And, so
I think they're actually at home for that series. Giants are home for the Colorado series.
Giants are home.
Yeah. 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 What? They're only going on the road for 2 games and coming right back.
I didn't even realize this is a
funky it's a dumb schedule this year because, the Manfred shoves them out on the road for, the Yankees, Philly, Angels. Then they get to come home for the Brewers, Rangers, then go to San Diego, then an off day, go to San Diego, then come right back home, no off day.
Then go right back on the road.
And then play 4 at home, then go right back out on the road, and you go to Chicago and Minnesota.
That Chicago series is going to be fun because Chicago hits the hell out of the baseball.
That's going to be a tough one because it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right after traveling. So that's going to be a rough one. Then they do get a day off between Chicago and Minnesota, which is nice because that's not a big travel from Chicago to Minnesota. So having a day off is kind of nice. And then they come home. And then they've got the D-backs, the A's, the Royals. So they're home for quite a bit, and they have an off day in the middle of that home stand. And then they've got another off day before they travel at the end of May to the East Coast again, to Washington, Detroit, Florida. So, yeah, it is a funky schedule. We don't play the Dodgers until, what is it, June 13th. So the Giants and Dodgers don't play until June 13th. Then they only play three games. And then they don't play again until July 11th, 12th, 13th. That's nuts. So by the time July 13th rolls around, the All-Star break, it's the last game before the All-Star break, the Giants and Dodgers will have only played six times.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I just want to mention, we are going to, we have the podcast network, we have the YouTube network. We are looking to grow both of those things. So if you do listen to us on those networks, if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, a little review of 5 stars will be very beneficial. I may do something if we start to get some, reviews, 5-star reviews. I may do some sort of giveaway, like, I don't know, one of the local writers' books or something. But those will, that'll be helpful. And also, like, we're just trying to get to that magic 500 mark on our YouTube channel. So if you can subscribe on YouTube, that would be great as well. I do have an old guy alley for Brad, though. So I don't know if he has one, but I do have one. So why don't we get to that now? So my old guy alley is that I still like lifting weights, but lifting weights does not like me as much. If I try to do curls or shoulder stuff, it just hurts like hell.
Yeah. And
stop doing that with actual dumbbells. Sometimes if I go to the gym and I can use the machines, it's not as bad, but it's still not great. And like I walk in like, I'm wearing like armor on all of my stuff. What I did was I found some old resistance bands that I had. And if you've ever like done any like work with resistance bands, like you can do a little bit of a workout. You're not going to kill with it, but you're going to get some good flexibility and stuff. So I bought a few extras just so I have a bunch of them. And I started a routine with the resistance bands today, trying to mimic some stuff that I would do in the gym. And so that was good. But at the same time, I was like, gosh, is this where it's at? Like, I'm now a resistance band weightlifter. I still, the one thing is I will still kind of suck it up and do dumbbell bench presses just because it's the easiest way for me to get.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I feel good about lip. So yeah. And my elbows don't hurt as much bench pressing as they were doing with some of the other exercises. But yeah, man, I'm at the resistance band part of my life.
You know, I've done a lot of resistance band work in the past because for physical therapy, I've had to buy quite a few. So I have a lot of resistance bands. I know they can be workouts, man, especially if you're like standing on the bands and you're doing flies with them.
Yeah.
They can absolutely do a lot of work.
I got a nice burn in my shoulders doing it today for sure.
Yeah. I'm doing dumbbells. I got to get back into it because my old guy alley is I had mystery illness. When you get older, you just get mystery illnesses. So I off and on feverish for like 10 days. And so I went to the doctor this morning, did a little blood work, and I seem to be better today. Today's the first day. This is the first drink I've had since the last show we did. Mm-hmm. And usually on the weekend, I like to have my bourbon and I'll put on some music and drink some bourbon. Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony from Van Halen, they played at Stagecoach last night. It was live. they were on at like 7:30 last night. I'm rocking out as hard as I can with a fever. I was like, yeah, man. Yeah, I wanted a beer so bad while I was watching that. I'm like, I can't because it's going to mess me up. So yeah, that's kind of my old guy alley. But yeah, I'm going to get back into the weights. I did the bike today, first exercise I did in like 3 or 4 days because of that mystery illness. And got on the bike and did 30, 40 minutes today and felt really, really good. But I'll do my weights. I do dumbbells. My medium, because I do the Apple Fitness Plus strength workouts. My mediums are 15 pounds and my heavies are 20s. It's good enough for me. It works for me. I'm only 145 pounds. So it's not like I'm trying to get yoked or anything, but when I'm done with a 30 minute upper body Apple Fitness Plus workout, I feel really, really good and pound some protein down and it feels great. But yeah, I'm with you. I do like it. Like last night watching Sammy Hagar, I grabbed a couple of dumbbells and I was like, I'm going to do some hammer curls. So I started doing, you know, single hammer curls on each side, just kind of isolate. As I was doing it, I was like, is that a twinge in my left bicep? Is that a,
oh no,
I kind of feel, my right shoulder feels weird, but I had, you know, again, I was feverish. I wasn't feeling so great. So probably not the best idea. Denise banned me from working out this weekend. She said, you have to rest. I said, no, I know, I got it.
Oh man. All right. So, yeah. So we're just about done here, and you know, the Giants finally have an off day. So hopefully Buster and Bo Mel and company get them raring and ready to go into San Diego. Not a huge series, but kind of like a nice little litmus test for the team. Like you said, the Padres are a little bit beat up. And so the Giants could go in there and show them what they got. And then hopefully when they come home for Colorado, they can beat those guys too. At least three. Let's get at least three.
Oh, yeah.
And then yeah, Chicago will be tough though. That is really like, that's the one I want to see. Cause I'm like, okay, how good are we? Let's see going into Chicago. Are we going into Chicago good? So hopefully they have a little bit of momentum. And like I mentioned, Brian and I will be back Thursday talking Warriors. The playoffs are ongoing. 49ers podcast will probably just be based on news is coming out of 49ers land. Cause like the offseason and the OTAs and all that stuff, unless there's like a Brock Purdy signing or George Kittle or Fred Warner getting re-signed and getting new deals and stuff, Rod and I will take a little bit of a break. But if there is news, we will be back. And Brad and I will be back next week on Monday. So for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.